The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. We're doing a special, special thing at the moment, Samantha Baines, aren't we?
This doesn't feel special.
It does to me. Last week we entered, we digitally penetrated my Amazon purchase history. This week we are looking at the shopping listery of, let me have a look here, she's called Samantha Baines. And she is a comedian and TV actor and book writer and knitter.
So much knitting.
Can I just say straight off the bat, Sam, you've got 17 items in your basket. What the hell's going on there?
17?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I always have items in my basket. Most of the time I save them for later because I try and, like, think about them.
Can I just buy the shit out of them now?
What happens if
I just
go... Don't buy them.
Well, can we have a quick look and see what's in your basket?
I think it's all wool.
Oh, my God. Signet, seriously chunky yarn.
Yeah, it's all wool.
Purina One Adult Cat Food Mini Fillets.
Oh, because someone told me, Felix.
Flask. This is the basket of a 85-year-old lady. Sam.
Someone told me that Felix cat food, which is what I feed my cats, is like fast food for cats. It's really bad for them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so then I was like, maybe I should get Purina, because it sounds pure, doesn't it? Mm. And then I've been like Googling
good
it.
Branding.
And,
good
and
branding.
And basically, everything is bad for cats.
Yeah.
Unless you give them like tuna.
Mice? Can you give them mice?
Well, one of them eats all the animals anyway.
This is the how long have we done this podcast for?
A lot, 4 million years.
So this it feels like. And yet, I'm not sure I knew before this conversation that you had cats.
Well, if you follow me on Instagram, you'd see them all the time.
Yeah, but I don't look at Insta stories, do I? Because it's too complicated. Why? It's too complicated.
You literally just click on a picture of my face with an orange ring.
I know how to do it, but I choose not to.
Complicated than scrolling.
I just scroll photos. It's all my thumb's capable of doing. All right, well, next time, sorry, I'll make sure.
Watch my stories.
Check out, yeah.
Yeah, I have two cats called Victoria and Albert.
Let's go back in time. Talking of Victoria and Albert, let's go back in time, back into the mists of time. This is as far away as Victorian London. 2005, imagine.
Whoa.
November 2005, 13th of November.
Wait, if I remember correctly, wasn't 2005 when you were buying video recorders?
2005, that's how long ago it is, yeah. Coal-powered video recorders, which the family used to gather around with no TV and just watch the spools going round. That was our entertainment. So you bought feminist drama, which I think you'll find is actually drier than dust. Feminist drama, definition and critical analysis. Please tell me you were studying this.
Well, feminist drama is not dry. Fleabag is a feminist drama. But no,
that's
in 2000...
feminist drama. Surely a textbook about feminist drama is going to be dry, isn't it?
Well, I was at university, you see.
Okay.
Studying drama.
Where did you go to university?
Exeter.
Very nice indeed. And so you bought feminist drama, definition and critical analysis. That is a theme that runs through a lot of your opening purchases, Sam.
Feminism.
A Doll's House, obviously, that's got women in it. See, I'm trying
it's
to...
not a very feminist. The women are...
No, quite subjugated.
Shackled.
Sex and the City. I mean, one of the women in Sex and the City is shackled frequently. That's a special.
Oh, my God. I used to watch Sex and the City in my halls in university.
Yeah.
And just have a little cup of tea and a biscuit and watch Carrie Bradshaw.
First, second and third seasons. So is the Sex and the City theme tune the theme tune you think of when you hear the HBO?
Oh. Well, no, now it's Game of Thrones.
No. Do you know what it's for me?
Da-da-da-da-da-da. What?
When I hear... in my head straight away. Bom, bom, bom.
I have no idea what that is.
Friends.
Oh, no, what was that?
That's Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you never watched Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, well, my ex was really into it, so I was sort of like rebelling by watching it. Yeah. For a long time it would have been Sex and the City. I was watching Succession recently, and it does the HBO thing, and every time I expected it to play Game of Thrones, but it didn't.
Yeah. It's an interesting sort of sign in your head of what's imprinted on you the most from HBO. Bom, bom. Five great comedies, Much Ado About Nothing, Twelfth Night, Midsummer Night's Dream. There's lots of Shakespeare here, Measure for Measure, which is apparently a Wordsworth classic. Well, they've made a mistake straight off the bat there, mate.
Well, did I buy... Was it all in one book?
It's not by William Wordsworth. It was by William Shakespeare. you bought... No, these are all separate books. Separate books.
I think I did Midsummer Night's Dream at university. Like, I performed in it.
Who were you?
Oh, like an not a named character. I was like the sort of, I was someone quite regal, like the queen of, but it was a sort of made up type character.
I bet you were actually a main character, but you've just forgotten the name of the character.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. I was definitely a made up character. I remember the top I wore, which had a cowl neck. It was a cream long sleeve top with a cowl neck. Oh. And I remember thinking, God, I look regal in this.
This is so working for me. You look regal in whatever you wear, Samantha Bones. You put off regal on a daily basis. I've looked at your Instagram, just not the stories. 2006 July, the Doris Day collection again.
Oh, I was so, I got really obsessed with Doris Day for a while. And right. And I used to watch just like the old school Doris Day movies in my university room. Oh. And I'd have my housemate round. Mm. And we didn't put the heating on because we were cheap. So we used to get in my bed in the duvet and wrap up warm and watch Doris Day.
That is so nice. Those are the moments though, aren't they? The thing that you, your comfort binge when you're of that age. Those are brilliant. For me, it was Friends, actually. I used to watch Friends all the time when I was about that age. When I was doing that.
But again, you said that my basket that I haven't bought looks like an 80-year-old woman.
It does.
I'm still sticking with that with Doris Day.
We'll get onto that. Yeah, exactly. There's a theme already. Very early to be finding the theme. High Society from 1956, which for you is when you were born.
Yeah, another old school movie.
Also, loads of Julia Roberts films. Erin Brockovich, Pretty Woman. This is in February 2006. You're buying this. The Knowing Body, Elements of Contemporary Performance and Dance. Looks really good, actually. Looks really good.
I think I had to buy that. I think I did a dance movement module at uni.
Oh, God.
So I think that was one of the books that we had to buy for an essay or something.
Yeah. Movement. I remember once working with a guy who'd been to drama school. I didn't go to drama school. And we were doing a sketch. And we did the sketch. And then East 17. That's the drama school that he'd gone to.
Yeah.
And which is quite pretentious, I think. Is it quite pretentious?
No, it's one of the
Central.
Cooler, trendy ones.
It was Central.
I went to Central.
Oh, right. There we go then. And we did
this. So this is Exeter now. This is drama degree. This is way before drama school.
Oh, so this is before drama school. Okay. So this guy had been to drama school and we did a sketch and he went, no, it was great, guys. Great. Okay, let's do it again, but this time without words. That sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, we did that all the time. The movement course was actually amazing. It was led by this woman called Pam, and she had a gammy foot. She called it gammy foot. Right. And why do I keep remembering items of clothes? This is how much I love clothes. But I had great movement trousers that I bought, which were like... like really expandable on the waist and then very flowy in the leg. And I felt like a dancer when
I wore
them.
So you felt regal, you felt like a dancer.
Yeah.
And
it's all about the clothes.
Yeah, this is nice. Okay, My Best Friend's Wedding, another Julia Roberts.
Yeah, ideal. Rom-coms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Julia Roberts. Oh,
here you go. Look, the Ultimate Romantic Comedy Collection, 6-disc box set. £16.23, January 2007. It's a good one.
What's it got in it?
Bloody hell, it's a really good one. Fucking hell. So the DVD now, by the way, you got it for £16. The DVD now is worth £40. So it's gone up.
Oh, shit. I might have thrown that away.
Pride and Prejudice.
I love romantic comedies to this day.
Bridget Jones, The Edge of Reason.
Yeah.
Love Actually.
Yeah.
About a Boy. Bridget Jones's Diary.
Don't love About a Boy.
Notting Hill. Yeah.
Love Notting Hill. Love Actually. Emma Thompson.
Yeah. But isn't that amazing?
Love
Six
Actually.
Movies for something like £13.
That's great.
Incredible. You got a good deal out there.
Thank you.
Should have held on to it. I could have been a good one. An Actor Prepares. Bit of Stanislavski going on here.
Yeah, at my university we had Bella Merlin, who was like the number one Stanislavski expert in the world.
What is Stanislavski? What's the sitch?
He's a man.
Okay, moving on. Go on, what is
Stanislavski is a man, and he taught acting methods. So we had to study all the different acting methods.
What is your preferred method? If you're going for an audition, what do you do?
Not Stanislavski.
Why? What is Stanislavski?
There's lots of different things. So there's his main thing is that you split a script up into units, and then you write an intention for each of those units. So,
oh my God, my mate Finn does that. I do auditions with him. I read for him while he's doing self-taping, and I always see his scripts have got one word next to chunks. So
yeah, Stanislavski is the big old famous dude. Yeah, but then you do it, units are bigger sections, and then you do it for each line, and you can even do it for each word. Yeah. So I do that. If I'm having a problem with a line, in something, or if I, you know, when you have to repeat the same line a few times in a script and you're like, what is this? I do do that for each individual line to change it up a bit. But other than that, I rarely do a Stanislavski.
I just think I do too much. I already feel like I'm doing too much when I audition. You know what I mean? Like I'd be going, I'd be changing my into angry here and then afraid of my own
I think
anger.
It's more to make you think about it when you're preparing it. I do more like Meisner now, which is you as if you're the character. Okay. So it's more rooted in you. So
that's
it's
good.
Like me, as if I was on a skiing holiday and falling in love with Prince Charming if I was going to be in a romantic comedy, which I never would be because I would never be the lead. I'd be the quirky best friend.
I think you'd
knits.
Be the lead. I disagree. You could be the A-lister, the A-lister knitter.
I am Zooey Deschanel in Failure to Launch, which I watched last night, which is great, with Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew McConaughey.
So what is the ultimate rom-com? What's the best rom-com ever? It's got to be Four Weddings, isn't it?
No. See, I love Four Weddings, but it's too far away from the classic cliche joy of rom-com.
Some
it's
like
too
it
clever. No, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, yes.
Is the best rom. Mm. It is like follows all the tropes of rom-com. It's not too sexist looking back on it.
It survives.
A lot of them really are. Yeah. And there are hilarious comedy moments. Okay. It's my favorite.
All right, good to know. Thank you for that. 2009, you bought absolutely nothing.
Oh, wow.
Prison?
What was that? I was at drama school.
Same thing. Same thing, mate. Stuck in a cell with people hiding from life, society.
I was at drama school
society.
For 1 year, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. 2010, once you were released, you got Green Wing, Complete Collection.
Yes.
Everyone loves a bit of Green Wing.
So I went to Central and I studied acting for screen. And this is when it was at drama school that my sort of comedy side started to take the fore, and I started to think that I wanted to be in comedy TV programs. So I loved Green Wing.
Yeah. And it was Green Wing was amazing because it was so, quirky is a horrible word, not quirky, but like it was kind of deadpan, as though like some
and
of the characters
weird.
Were deadpan.
It was great.
Yeah. But weirdness played with a deadpanness. You know what I mean? It was brilliant. Weird.
Everyone just accepted that it was weird.
Yeah, surrealism, but also really normal as well. It was amazing. It was such a good mix. You also bought a film called Colin, which is an odd one.
Oh, yeah. So at the time I was working for a director, Mark Price, and that was his first film.
Oh, really? What is it?
It's a zombie movie that he apparently made on £45 and then it won awards.
You made it on £45?
So I wanted to check it out.
The DVD is now £14 for that. I wonder what other films you can buy on DVD for a quarter of the budget of the whole movie. That's amazing. It's got a few, I'll be honest, it's not done great with reviews. I mean, do you want to hear this? A lot of one stars. Colin, totally depressing. What a yawn of a movie with an idiotic storyline. Should have never made it to release. Makes a good mug drip mat about all it's good for.
Wow. Harsh.
And someone else called Cat Lover.
I do love cats, but I don't think that's me.
A truly realistic take on a zombie-infested Britain, actually showing how it would be to suddenly find yourself dead after being bitten. Very gritty and at times sad portrayal of Colin's life. There we go. Colin's life was one of the undead.
So I'm only on... How many orders am I on now?
Oh, so we're in 2010, Samantha Baines, co-host of Mike May Bought a Toaster, which we're doing a Christmas special. We're interviewing each other this year. 2010, two orders purchased. Where are you in 2010 in your life, please?
I've no idea. 2010.
Well,
so
you went to drama school in 2009.
Went to drama school in 2009. I'm so bad. What I always found amazing about this podcast is people know where they were and what they were doing by year. Literally the only years I know what I was doing is uni and drama school. And then in between them, I have no idea. So at some point I was in a sketch group, but I don't think that's yet.
What was the sketch group called that you were
Vinegar
in?
Knickers.
Mm-hmm,
it's my sketch group. Really three good. Girls. Yep. I think, I don't know, 2010, I came out of drama school. I think I was living at home during drama school, which was very stressful for me.
Where's home?
In Bromley.
So you were living in Bromley and going to
with
drama school?
With my parents. Ugh. Yeah, going, travelling in every day. When I was at drama school, I was with my boyfriend from university, and then we broke up like halfway through drama school, and then I went out with someone who has the same name as me, which is a very weird experience, but not for very long.
What, the actual same name as you?
Not Samantha Baines, but Sam.
Not Sam Baines?
No,
the writer
Sam.
Of Peep Show. No, okay. Right.
Sam Bain.
All right. Oh, that's Sam Bain.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So I don't know. I must have just left drama school. I remember leaving drama school and feeling really depressed about the world. I think I was still living with my parents.
Weird to be at drama school because and at home, because you're straddling the two extremes of life. Drama school is this pent-up potential, and everyone has got this idea. Everyone at drama school has got a glint in their eye that says, I'm going to fucking do this, which is amazing, which is gorgeous just to get in that world and be part of that. But then to have one foot still at home, which, like living with your parents, that is the exact opposite of that. So you've really got two polar opposites there on the same day, on a daily basis.
Especially after you go to uni and you're living on your own for 3 years, and then you come back and you've got no money and you're in debt.
Who did you get on with the least when you were living back at home then? Who was the problem?
My mum, because we're so similar. So we just argued all the time. And we're both really good at arguing. Oh, so no. The arguments went on forever and would never end.
Oh, no. Do you get on better now that you don't live together?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, good.
But I think I'd left drama school and was auditioning like twice a year for commercials, like no auditions at all. And I was working at Heathrow Airport with the royal family.
What were you doing? What do you mean?
So I used to work in the VIP suites at Heathrow. So anytime the royal family, not the Queen, because she had her own suite, but anytime the royal family or like government officials flew through Heathrow, I used to look after them.
Really? So,
yeah.
So who have you met then?
Wills and Harry and Kate.
Nice.
Yeah, lovely. All really lovely. All carry their own bags. Very nice. I'm not allowed to say if anyone wasn't nice, by the way, because I think I signed a thing.
Okay, fine. But you can tell me and I'll edit it out. Prince Andrew?
I never met him.
Okay.
Tony Blair I met. And you know what? Very attractive in real life.
I've got the hots for Tony Blair. Seriously.
Like, I did not expect it, but he's very attractive.
I've heard
and
that
John
before.
And John Major, very charismatic. Mm. Gordon Brown, not so much.
No. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Anyone you can slag off or not? Just for me? Just that I'll take it. No one was rude.
That you'll take out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She used to pull up in her Range Rover and just park in the middle of the whole car park, like not in the...
That's
just pull up and get out.
Wow, so you've met royals?
Yes.
You have lived at home with your parents whilst being at drama school?
I was still living at home with my parents while I was working with the royal family.
Wow.
Because it didn't pay loads.
Okay.
So I was paid not by the royal family.
Okay, you weren't paid in tips or anything like that. You were paid in
corgis. I did get tips sometimes and they were incredible tips.
Who tipped you?
Mainly like the Qatari royal family.
And what kind of tip would they give you?
I think the most I got was £100. Yeah.
Wow.
They'd give it to you in an envelope.
That's like 6 months of podcasting.
The first time I was ever tipped a lot of money, because I've never worked, weirdly, I always used to work in shops, so I've never worked in like a bar or anywhere someone might tip you.
Did it feel a bit dirty when you got 100 quid? Were you like, Liz, oh, whoa, what did you think this was?
No, I was like, lovely. But the first time someone tipped me, they folded it up and put it in my hand, and I didn't know what they were doing, so I pulled my hand away. And then, because I was like, what's that? And then I realised, and then I had to go back in for the handshake, and they were so awkward about it, because it was a British person. And then I sort of had to, like, scoop the... Because they'd folded up a note, like, into four, and then
God.
I had to, like, scoop
like
it out of their
trick.
Hand. It was awful.
That's so weird. But that's why British awful. People cannot tip. It's not something we're capable
no,
of doing.
It's just...
Just listen.
Whereas
just,
the Qataris would just put it in an envelope, just give you an envelope. It was lovely. It was just very straightforward.
God, an envelope just with some cash in it.
Yeah.
What else have we got here? Again, loads and loads of books. You were reading a lot in 2013.
I always had nothing to do.
Universe versus Alex Woods, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. These are brilliant books. Gone Girl. Love Gone Girl. Such a great book.
I'm trying to think what I was doing in 2013 is before stand-up.
Oh, well, you bought a book called Be a Great Stand-Up, Logan Murray's How to Master the Art of Stand-Up Comedy and Making People Laugh.
Oh, so maybe it was early doors of stand-up.
Yeah.
I think I was in the final of the Funny Women Awards in 2014.
Okay.
And at that point, I'd only been doing stand-up for under a year.
Right.
So this maybe is the beginnings of... I'm obviously very bored, getting no acting work, reading lots of books and thinking, what can I do with my life?
Working at Heathrow, looking after royals.
Yeah. I don't know if I still was then.
Right, okay.
At this point, I would have been working in as the marketing woman in an art gallery in Heathrow Airport.
Oh, so you're still at Heathrow Airport. So Heathrow is very much your...
Yeah, I was employed by a company there handing out flyers, basically was my first job there. And then they realised my potential and moved me to the Royal Suites. And then I didn't like the hours of the Royal Suites because it was really long shifts and you're on your feet all day. Yeah. And then I started working in the art gallery, and then they made me marketing director. And that is how I set up my marketing company, which I own, called Penguin in the Room.
Which you still have.
You still have today.
Mm.
So, yeah, I will have been working at Heathrow in marketing, probably feeling quite... I enjoyed marketing, but I'm probably feeling that I need to do something creative, hence the stand-up.
30th of September 2014, you bought some 100 milliliter peppermint pure essential oil. This... Now, I went to New Zealand earlier on this year, and everyone's obsessed with peppermint oil. Like, they put it... It's basically... It smells just like... Well, I don't know, mints. It smells like Murray mints or something. But everyone puts it on and it's kind of got this, I don't know, instead of aftershave, everyone smells of mints. It's really weird.
Well, I don't think we'll have had the cats by this point, but peppermint oil is very good for getting fleas off cats.
Oh, so it's not for human consumption, this. This is
no,
for cats.
Well, you don't drink it, but you can burn it on oil burners in your house. I think... my mum always used to burn essential oils in the house, so it might be to do with that. Although I don't think I would have burnt peppermint oil, so I don't know what I would have done with that.
Mm-hmm,
but now I have it because it's a good natural way of getting fleas off cats.
Is that right?
And then you also put it on your carpet, and then the fleas don't go into your carpet and
so
lay eggs.
Fleas don't like peppermint. Is that why we don't get any fleas in our mouths after brushing our teeth? Because I've never seen a flea in my mouth.
Fleas can't live in your mouth.
I think it must be because they don't like
mints.
Yeah. That's the only conclusion I can really come to.
Ask the Nincompoops. It's the show where kids ask us the questions they want answered.
And we answer the questions that the kids ask.
Did bacon or pigs come first?
Bacon.
Bacon, are you not listening?
It couldn't be simpler.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Oh,
Jane. Your pants on fire, did you know that?
Oh, hold on, my pants are on fire. Sorry, that's just pure coincidence. You haven't learned a thing.
Ask the Nincompoops.
Great Big Owl.
Yeah. Where we're going, we'll be showing that we listen to souls. Cause these lovely ass people gonna talk to the host.
He's gonna ask a couple questions.
What they're buying the most. Cause one man goddamn just likes a piece of toast.
A fascinating look at 2014 here. The Chinese calligraphy writing set.
Oh, my God. Okay. I loved that. And then it broke. And then I never used it. I think I was like, I'm going to be really creative and like learn calligraphy. I love crafting, obviously.
Well, because of the knitting.
I'm currently knitting. Yeah. I've done knitting. I've done collaging. I still do all these things. I do embroidery. Like, I love home crafts.
Really?
And I love feeling like creative and like doing a little picture or project at home.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I thought I was going to get into calligraphy. I think I found a artwork that I did when I was at school that I did with ink and a brush.
Uh-oh.
And remembered how much I enjoyed it. So I bought this to learn calligraphy. I never did. I kept it in a drawer. And then I think my ex broke it.
Oh. Okay.
And then he said he'd buy me another one, and he never did.
Unbelievable. It's got great reviews. Awesome. Very good starter kit for beginners. Well, someone's written very good started kit. I hope their spelling is better when they're doing calligraphy.
Otherwise, you've ruined the whole
real
thing.
Pain, yeah.
I'm still well up for trying calligraphy. I might buy it again.
Yeah. It was only 23 quid, Samantha.
I know. You can do, like, workshops now.
Someone's written, someone called Colin has given it 3 stars and said, I still await the moment of truth. What's that all about? What's that all about?
He's looking for an epiphany in his calligraphy.
If you're looking for truth through calligraphy, now that is a self-help book I would love to write.
Well, maybe he's just trying to write the word truth and it's not happening.
That's a weird one, Colin. Let's bash on through now to 2015. Where are you in your life? Are you married by this point in 2015?
Oh, no. I only got married... I've no idea. I got married in 2016.
Oh, okay.
So I'm living with my ex, and I think we own a flat.
Right. Why did you? I mean,
near Essex at this point.
Okay. All right. So you're coming into town for auditions and stuff like that, and
yeah. So I will. I've
gigging.
Already been in the sketch group. I'm doing stand-up comedy. I'm doing acting.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to think. 25. I literally have to look at my CV to work out what acting jobs I'm doing. Like, I'm so bad. I don't know how people remember years. Like, it's
no.
Just,
I know. I know what you mean. It's just a blur.
It's just not
blur.
Interesting to me. So 2015 probably was a royal night out.
Okay. What
so
was that
came out in 2015. So that was my first and I think only currently cinema release film that I was in. So it's directed by Julian Gerald with Rupert Everett and Emily Watson, and it's about the princesses when they go out on V-Day and have a lovely time, set in the 1950s.
Right.
So I was in that. So I would have filmed that before, probably 2014, and then it was out 2015. I do think 2015 was a busy year. I think I filmed Sunny D, which is Dame Baptiste's show for BBC Three.
Oh, yeah.
And The Crown that year, because they both came out in 2016.
Mm. Okay, two cool jobs, two very cool jobs.
And maybe Call the Midwife, or maybe that was 2016.
15 was a great year. 50 orders placed in March 2015.
I'm doing well, I'm getting paid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You bought the I Love Professor Brian Cox.
Oh, wow. So this is the prep for my very first Edinburgh show.
Come on then.
So this is my first stand-up comedy hour.
Yeah.
And I loved science and the universe and space. And so
it's amazing.
Yeah. So basically the whole show is about space, but it was kind of framed on this kind of weird obsession with Brian Cox.
Right. Right. Do you still have that obsession?
No. Oh. Weirdly. I mean, if I see him, if I saw him in person, I probably would be a bit giggly.
Yeah.
He's the only person I'd be... Like, I met Channing Tatum and I wasn't giggly, but if I met Brian Cox...
What is it about Brian Cox then?
So this is my first Edinburgh hour show. I was obsessed... So the idea of the show is I was obsessed with Brian Cox.
Yeah.
I wrote him a poem that was published by the Huffington Post. This is genuinely true. I took part in this Twitter thing where you, like, followed... I think it was Inua Ellams, who's an amazing poet. And then he coached you through writing a poem. And I wrote one about Brian Cox, and then the Huffington Post published it. And then he read it and he said, "I don't like hobnobs," was his only reply to it.
Wow.
And that's just about a line in the poem where I say he ate a hobnob. So it was a real kind of sad moment in my life. Unclimactic. What's the opposite of climactic?
Anticlimactic. Anticlimactic.
So it was very stressful. So the point of the show was to get him to notice me. Instead of writing a stupid poem, I would learn about the universe and then I'd have loads of facts and then we'd go for a coffee and I'd just churn out all these facts and he'd be like, "Oh my God, you're amazing." So that was the purpose of the show.
You're amazing. That's how I'd say it, to be fair.
So there were lots of, I got an audience member to dress up as Brian Cox. So I brought a wig on Amazon, which I still have. I found it the other day.
Mm.
And yeah, I basically taught the audience facts about space whilst learning them myself, made them into jokes. It went very well. Sold out every day in Edinburgh. But I did get one review which said there were too many sexual innuendos.
That I can't believe that from you. I can't. Cox. The number of...
Brian Cox.
If there's a scientist called Brian Cox, there's going to be an innuendo other second.
Obviously, I had to make an innuendo over Cox, but also...
This is a woman who watched Sex and the City box sets, for God's sake.
But also, why can't you do a show about space and have innuendos in it?
Also, if you binge on a Brian Cox TV show, is that a Cox set? Is that all right? Can you do that?
Cocksuck. Suck on that. But that particularly annoyed me because I was like, if I'm doing a whole hour of science facts, that's dry.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to make them funny.
Yeah.
And some science and the universe like exploding and expanding. Of course sex is going to come up. That's part of the whole life thing.
But that's the human's response to the end of the universe is to fuck, right? That's what you're doing.
Exactly. So of course there's going to be innuendos. And also the review
annoyed me. Good to see that review hasn't rankled still to this day.
The review annoyed me so much that I went back through my script of the show and I counted the sex jokes and there was 8. In an hour.
Let it go. Right. 23rd of March 2016, the Crystal Innovation Bride's Garter.
Oh, yeah. So obviously, I was about to get married.
So, your bride's garter, you spent. Do you know how much you spent on that?
I don't think I even wore it. I forgot.
Oh, well, £2.55.
Gee, weddings are expensive.
Yeah.
I didn't wear it.
What else have we got in 2016? Again, more shoes. They're gone for the Hummel Slimmer Stadel canvas shoes, the unisex adult shoes. Galaxy Planets Universe printed leggings. Very nice.
I think that was for Edinburgh for the show, but I never wore them.
Very on brand. Very nice indeed. Very nice indeed. What else have we got as we get towards the end of 2016? We've got the Cat Tunnel Tubes. Cat teaser.
Oh my God, they loved those.
It was a great Christmas for the cats that year.
So I think I'd only had the cats I think they were still quite young at this point.
Right.
And so I was still excited by buying them gifts. So I bought them Tunnels because they love like cardboard boxes and stuff and playing in them.
Please tell me you still get them gifts now, though. You haven't just got bored of your cats.
No, I don't get them gifts. Because they don't play with them. They just like cardboard.
Well, that's the problem.
Like, I bought them Tunnels and they actually did really like those. But all the other gifts I bought them, they'd rather have a cardboard box.
Mm, that's the problem. Kids are
and
the
luckily,
same.
Kids I are order same. A lot on Amazon.
luckily for us. All right, let's do a rattle through now, okay? So I'm going to give you some random products that you've bought and you have to give me a very quick, succinct breakdown of why you bought it and what it was all about. Bamboo shredded memory foam soft pillow. £50 on that bad boy.
Gave it a go to see if it'd make me sleep better. It didn't. And then I used it as stuffing for Christmas decorations that I made out of felt.
So you tore a pillow to shreds?
Well, no, there was a zip and you could just undo it.
All right, okay, fine. All right, true wireless earbuds. Mindcoo 2-in-1 mini Bluetooth earpiece with lipstick-sized portable in-ear earbuds.
So this is before I got my hearing aid and I was trying to hear music better. Because I didn't know I was deaf yet.
Right, okay. So that hadn't happened at this point.
No.
So what year did you realise the deafness thing is?
I was 30, so two and a half, three years ago.
Okay. All right, we'll get on to that then. What else have we got here? North Face Men's Apex Bionic EU Jacket, a pro EU jacket in 2017.
That was a gift for my ex.
I hope it was for a Remainer. a fur remover. With self-cleaning base by Furry Fido. It's like you bought toys for the cats and now you're just getting fur remover. You're like, you're already trying to get them out
that
of your
life.
That
didn't work at all. That was like, took no hair off anything.
You bought two decorative square palette pillowcase glitter mermaid sequins cushion covers.
Oh, they were for Christmas. And they're the ones where you can like, you brush it one way and it's one colour and brush it the other way. And literally we spent all Christmas just holding them and people drawing different things on the cushions.
Dicks.
I still have
just dicks.
The cushions are broken, but I still have them because they're fun.
The Christmas of dicks on cushions. All right, Sam Baines, we're going to leap through now to 2019.
Yeah, because I feel that there's loads.
The year where you started doing this podcast. You made 102 orders.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
A lot of orders. June 2019, large bunch of Provence lavender. Again, are you in your 80s?
No, it's nice for around the home. It smells nice. And I got a little naked lady vase and I put lavender in it.
Air purifying house plants, collection of three plants, good for home and office. This is very timely. Everyone's talking about this these days.
Yeah, but do not buy them on Amazon.
Oh, really? Why?
Because they come a little bit worse for wear and one of them died. And I don't think it's my fault because I've kept all the other ones alive. Before this point, I always killed plants, but I've really given it a go this year and I'm doing quite well.
Good hints and tips. All right, then we're going to get to the final thing that you have bought, Sam Baines, okay, as we have romped
can
through
we
your
guess what it is?
Amazon listery.
I'm surprised you haven't found all the vibrators, which are in the last couple of years.
I'm slightly disappointed that
there's
I haven't.
There's a great one in the last... I think I bought it in the last month. Hang on. It's very good and it's very cheap.
Hang on, there we go. I'll
see if it's black. And it's called an all-body massager.
Has it got a wooden handle? Oh, no, that's the eye makeup.
That's a makeup brush.
It's okay. 23rd of November 2019, Sam Baines. There was a lightning deal. There were sparks of electricity for the gift pack wireless full body wand massager handheld waterproof. I hope it is. Electric massage wand slide, water based lubricant, sleep mask, UK plug, velvet bag. I mean, that's just random words in a sentence, isn't it?
What? I mean,
it's a dildo, isn't it? Just call it a dildo.
This is hilarious because I saw it on Lightning Deals for Black Friday and I was like, it's called an all body massager, but it looks like a vibrator that you can put in yourself. Mm-hmm. I was very confused and I had to go like right into the details of the listing to check, and it is.
Right.
And it was like real cheap. It was like a tenner. So I was like, might as well buy it.
A cheap thrill right there.
And oh my God, the vibration is so strong. It's like the strongest vibrator. Like, you can't use it if you have housemates because they were all here. Like, I feel like the neighbours could hear the vibrations. It's so loud.
Someone drilling in
my
there.
Whole
yes,
body,
yes, they are drilling.
My whole body was vibrating, but I orgasmed 3 times in a row.
Which for
first
me feels...
First time I used it.
It feels like a happy finish. Do you know what I mean? I love a happy
always.
Ending for this podcast.
What's it called? Check it out, everyone. It's great.
The wireless full body wand massager.
But we've use started, it when people are out.
We've started with you. you watching Sex and the City under a duvet and having to go to a flatmate for warmth. And now, here we are in November 2019. You're just
living alone.
You're trying
masturbating.
Hoovering up your cat's fur and pulling out your wireless full body wand massager handheld waterproof. Well, listen, I'm glad you've got My Mate Bought a Toaster, the podcast. Otherwise, with that, you'd never leave the house, would you? So,
no. Were
it not for us, you'd still be at home right now having multiple orgasms. Thank you very much, Sam Baines. Thank you for being a guest on this show, and probably see you in 2020, I'd imagine.
Yeah, maybe.
TBC.
Also, I have a book out, which I bought several times via
time.
My Amazon.
Oh,
Harriet
versus
the Galaxy.
Our toast upon Twitter. Thanks. Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's column once before.
These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Suppose Martin Hurley bashing her head like this.
You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mother.
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up. With a novel on the top.
I think I'm like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at Box Delights Pod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Big Owl.